Hello and welcome to Eco Talk. We have another hour of power for you, cleaner power that is, and that's part of what a new climate partnership is proposing. It's kind of a public partner, public-private partnership, very interesting combination of large corporations and environmental groups. Today, the NRDC, one of our partners, announced the formation of the U.S. Climate Action Partnership with several large corporations, as we mentioned, not all of whom are known for aggressive environmental stewardship. They are calling for comprehensive global warming legislation without delay, and also have suggestions for what they'd like to hear in the president's upcoming State of the Union speech. We've always heard that the big business has the ear of the president. We know that's the case, in fact, but let's see if he's listening to this inescapably catchy new tune that really is starting to take hold. We'll also be chatting today with Steve Klein, PG&E Corporation's Vice President of Environmental and Federal Affairs, about their decision to join that novel partnership. And Joel McCower will check in to tell us how excited he is about Dell Computer Company taking the lead in an industry rife with environmental challenges. And last but not least, Melissa Holbrook Pearson, author of the deep philosophical book, The Place You Love Is Gone, Progress Hits Home, will join us. You won't want to miss any of these segments. I promise you, all really compelling stuff. Frances Beinecke up first. And of course, she became NRDC's second president after assuming the helm in 2006. She's been on the program before. She served as executive director from 1998 through 2005 and has been with the NRDC for more than 30 years. And this note from my producer, her good friend and ex-roommate, I guess from college, Sigourney Weaver, based the character of Ripley from the Alien movies on Frances Beinecke. Sigourney has said that whenever I needed to know how Ripley would act, I'd ask myself, what would Frances do? So, Frances, what have you done? And welcome to the program.
Well, thanks so much, Betsy. It's great to be here.
This is a really radical departure. Again, just combining large companies with environmental groups. But then again, drastic times call for unusual measures.
Yes, I think that today's announcement of the U.S. CAP, the U.S. Climate Action Partnership, is a real breakthrough moment in our quest to get strong legislation on global warming emissions. It basically is an announcement from 10 major U.S. corporations, including GE, Alcoa, British Petroleum, Caterpillar, DuPont, PG&E, calling for a cap and trade program on carbon emissions that would decrease, it would basically slow, stop, and reverse our carbon emissions over time. It calls for a 20% or a 10% reduction over the next 10 years, with a long-term goal of a 60 to 80% reduction in carbon emissions by 2050. This is a very bold statement by the companies. We developed it with them in partnership with a number of other environmental organizations. And I think it's a recognition of two things. It's three, really. It's a recognition that the science on global warming is really definitive, that the case has been made and the planet is in serious jeopardy, and we really need to get moving now. It's also a recognition that companies want predictability. They want to know what kind of legislation is going to be out there. They want to participate in the shaping of that as they make long-term future investments in their business sector. And thirdly, it really recognizes that there's an opportunity as well, that if we can get ahead on this issue, really move to a cleaner energy technology, promote efficiency, that this can be a real boon to the U.S. economy, create jobs, and really put us in the forefront instead of at the back of the pack where we've been for so many years on climate change.
And who led the way on this initiative, since it is rather unusual, and how did NRDC get involved?
Well, it's really been we and the other organizations, Environmental Defense and the World Resources Institute, of course, have conversations on an ongoing basis with many of these companies. NRDC particularly has done a lot of work with PG&E over the years on promoting efficiency and conservation in the utility sector. So what really emerged was, particularly after GE made the announcement of eco-imagination, they and others started thinking, you know, is there a broader step that we can make in propelling some of these issues forward? And we were invited into the conversation about a year ago. And, you know, when these companies and the environmental groups came together, there was really, it was very unclear, not at all sure, that we would find common ground. The task was to see, is there common ground that we could come together on? And our staffs worked diligently over many months, and the CEOs met several times. And we've really been able to come together on, I think, what is a very, very strong call to action. The U.S. CAP basically outlines a framework for what a global warming legislation could consist of. It's not a specific formula. It provides a range of ways that each of these areas could be addressed. So there's sort of a smorgasbord of opportunity. But it basically is very specific about the need to slow, stop, and reverse our emissions and get to it as quickly as we can, and really calling on Congress and the President to take action and get us on this pathway, which I think is very, very important. It also recognizes that, particularly in the power sector, that we have to move quickly to new coal technology that can capture carbon and significantly reduce the emissions coming from coal plants. And, of course, one of our NRDC's great concerns is there are a very large number of coal plants on the drawing board right now. If those are built without carbon controls, we will have really missed the opportunity to address this this problem in a timely way. And I think that the science now is so compelling and the urgency of the case is so compelling that we really have to move forward.
It does seem the eco tide is turning, and none too soon, especially with the newly configured Congress. We are, of course, celebrating, as you are, the passage of House Resolution 6, I believe it was. That is the bill that would roll back enormous subsidies for the oil and gas industries. Just how much of a watershed event is that vote, which was, I think, passed with about 100 vote majority?
Yeah, I think it's very significant. I mean, what it does is it not only gets the money back from the oil companies, but it basically puts it into a $14 billion clean energy fund. And, of course, what we're looking for is what a clean energy future consists of. And I think by moving from the support of the oil industry, as the federal government has done for so many years, into really promoting a clean energy future, that's a very, very important part of it. It is an investment in the future.
A real win-win.
Those resources will be put to good use of moving us towards a clean energy future, which, you know, there's a combination of events here. One is the serious problem of global warming. The other is the security issues raised by our energy addiction. And that is something that, you know, there's been a lot of talk but very little action. And I think the United States Congress is beginning to really take action. I think the vote this week really signifies that, and Speaker Pelosi has made it very clear that this is one of her real priorities. And on the Senate side, there's also a great deal of activity on energy. So, you know, we're seeing a real shift here, and it's something we're enthusiastic about it, and we're hoping, you know, that we can really support the initiatives that will really move us down a clean energy pathway, which will make us more secure and independent.
The State of the Union speech is coming up. Of course, last year we heard from probably the last guy to acknowledge it that America is addicted to oil. If you could be writing up a memorable line for this year's speech, what might it be? What would you like to hear from his mouth?
The most important thing we would like to see the president do is commit to a cap and trade program on carbon that reduces our carbon emissions over time, similar to what the U.S. CAP proposal is. That would be the most significant thing he could come out with tomorrow, and I'm hoping that he does, but let's say we're not that optimistic.
So are you optimistic enough to think he might actually see an inconvenient truth before he leaves office, or no such luck?
Well, I think it would be a very good thing for him to see, and I hope he does.
Okay, and just lastly, you know, you mentioned all the costs of our oil addiction, and just economically, the deficit because of the huge amounts that we continue to import. With, you know, consumption and population trends still going up, are you somewhat optimistic that we can really keep this from destroying, you know, the fabric of our society here?
Well, I think that there are real opportunities that lie ahead. I mean, first, we have to have a much more efficient energy sector. If we can't move forward to make a standard of 40 miles per hour for our transportation sector, we're really missing the boat. And then that is combined with growing our own fuels. There's tremendous enthusiasm for that across the country now. Of course, the amount of ethanol being produced is growing at a very rapid rate. We're specifically interested in moving past ethanol to what's called cellulosic biofuels,
right.
Biofuels that are grown from the woody part of plants and are much more energy efficient and carbon friendly.
Frances, we're out of time. So, I'm sorry I asked you a big question at the end of an interview.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. It was my fault, but I just love hearing what you have to say and continue your great work with the NRDC.
Okay, well, thanks very much for having me.
And we'll be back right after these messages.